Well, as you can easily see, the topic of conversation for the readings today predominantly is about two widows and their only sons. And in particular, both of their sons had passed away. In the gospel account, we see Jesus entering the village of Nain. Now, Nain means green pastures. It was a small village about 5 miles southwest of where he grew up in Nazareth. So he would obviously have known that area very well. Anyway, there was also a multitude of people that were coming with him as he was entering the city. He had already gained a large following by this time, and they were all traveling together as they were entering the gate of the village. At the same time, there was another multitude of people, the funeral procession, heading in the opposite direction, and they got to the gate about the same kind. So at the same time, you've got these two groups coming together, and so you know what you've got? Human gridlock. There they are. They're stopped. Now, it must have been a real sight to see these two groups trying to figure out how they were going to begin to work together, because in those days, it would have been custom for anybody that was entering into the city or anybody in the city, if there was a funeral procession coming by, you joined in. Now, I remember when I was a kid growing up that if a funeral procession passed by where we were standing, we were always to stand there and bow our heads. If you had your hat on, you took your hat off and put it on your head, and you bowed, or took it off your head, and you bowed your head in honor of the family and also the person that was passing by in the hearse. If you were in a car, you put your headlights on and you pulled off to the side of the road and you waited for the funeral procession to pass, because this was again acknowledging a major event in the life of this family. Well, in that culture of that day, it was more than just pulling aside, it was joining in. And so you had these people, they were stopped and basically trying to reconfigure themselves that they might form an even grander funeral procession. It was at this moment that Jesus saw the widow. It's interesting in Scripture how Luke really makes that apparent, that he saw the widow weeping. She probably wasn't even aware of her surroundings at the time because she was so caught up in her own grief. But at that time, he looked at her. Here she was, mourning. First of all, she was mourning because she lost her son. We don't know his age. We don't know whether he was an older son, a little child. We don't know much about it. All we know is that she had lost her child. I don't know about you, but just in talking with so many people over the years, only one who has lost a child can even begin to understand the grief that this woman is going through. But she would also be weeping for herself. You see, she was a widow. And in that day and in that culture, as a widow, with no son left over, no children, no nothing, if she did not have either a man take her into his household as his wife or have one of her relatives take her in, she would be cast off. She would end up begging on the street and probably face an almost certain early death from starvation, exposure, or abuse. So she was weeping for multiple reasons. Basically, the same outcome for the widow in Zarephath, where Elijah was staying. She had that same future in front of her as her own child dies. Well, Luke says that when he saw the child, well, actually when he saw the mother, he had pity on her. To be honest with you, I don't like the term pity. It just doesn't, it's almost like he felt sorry for her, but that's not it at all. The word there is more literally compassion. And what it describes is someone, and I've talked about this in other homilies, it is someone who is gripped in the stomach. In other words, it is an emotional response that has a physical consequence. He was physically kind of impacted by what was going on in seeing the hopelessness of this widow. It's an amazing term when you think about it in terms of Jesus. So, at that word, he was moved with compassion. He then did something amazing. In our reading, it says he touched the coffin. Literally, it means he grabbed hold of it. These coffins were usually on the shoulders of the bearers, and so they were parading down with the coffin on their shoulders, holding on to it. He grabbed a hold of it, and without saying anything more, he said this, "Young man, rise up." Wow. What a sign. What a thing to have happen. He looks at the woman. He sees her. He tells her not to weep. He grabs the coffin and he says, "I tell you, arise." That must have been an amazing thing to see, to be one of the ones looking on at this sight. First of all, they might have been frightened because for anybody to touch a coffin or a dead body is complete uncleanness for the one that does it. Also, they were afraid of disrespect. Can you just imagine how they must have felt when the young man did as he was told? And he sat up in his coffin. And he began to speak. I don't know what he said. I would have loved to have been there. You know, it might have been, "Wow, that was really exciting. That was quite a place to visit." We don't know what he said. But it says in Luke that the crowd had fear upon them all, and they glorified God in their midst. That was putting it mildly. The funeral was over. The widow no longer had to weep. She could now rejoice that her son was again alive. Well, there's one thing that's very interesting about this particular miracle. Did you happen to notice that nobody asked Jesus to do anything? Nobody came up to him and said, "Jesus, here is a young man who is dead and his mother is going to be a widow without any support. Can you do something?" Nothing like that was said. The widow herself did not grab a hold of him and say, "Please, Lord, do something." What we have here is a response that came completely from the love, the compassion of Jesus. And so what we are seeing here in this story is a true revelation of the heart of God, how compassionate and how loving He really is. He had a love that flowed from the very core of His being. It's interesting that this reading takes place now because Friday we had the solemnity of the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yesterday was the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's all about heart. You know, as the old song goes, you gotta have heart. Not the one that pumps blood, but the heart is your very core of your being. It is the place out of which you speak. It is the place out of which you get touched by things around you, and you begin to act in accordance with them. This is the heart of God. And as Luke 6 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What was abundant in Jesus was compassion that caused Him to say, "Young man, I tell you, arise." One of the things we need to see is that God's compassion is there even when we are not calling out to Him. Even when we are just there in our own circumstance, He knows what's going on. He sees us and He cares. St. Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans says this, "For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's quite a list. Nothing can separate us from the love that He has for us. Unfortunately, sometimes we quit praying. We quit growing to church. We quit receiving the sacraments. We quit putting ourselves in God's arms too quickly. We quit too quickly because we haven't received what we wanted. It's at these points we really need to wait for the touch of God's love to be received. We don't know how it will come. It may come as in the way that it came to this widow. it may come in a completely different way. All we know is His love is there. In this, Jesus also shows us that this is about the family. Jesus had compassion on the woman, and that was exhibited by bringing her son back to life. As I said, not every story ends this way. In fact, in a few short years, his own mother will also be weeping. He knew he must die. At the same time, he expressed compassion to his mother, and he didn't leave her alone either. He did not do the same thing. He said, "Woman, behold your son," talking about John. And then to John, "Behold your mother." But because even though he himself would rise from the dead as this young man came back to life, it was a different rising. It was a rising that would lead to an ascension. His mother would still be alone, but given to John so that he might care for her, that she would be safe. It was out of the same compassion where life came to one in this young man, but death came to the other in Jesus. It's all out of a heart of love. And whatever good came out of the first rising, the rising of the young man, we know that God's act of compassion through Jesus Christ has made an impact on the whole world, and especially on those who are baptized and brought into His love and into eternal life. In his book, The Lord, by Romano Guardini, this is what he says about this particular little miracle that takes place. He said, "Because He's entirely alive, Jesus dominates death. Death's superior. He voluntarily submits to it. He who has been sent into the world to change death's very essence in the eyes of God." You see, Jesus was not intimidated by death. He used it. Here in this time, He called this young man back to life. Why is that? He was calling the youth to further service to the kingdom, and in particular to his mother, to his family. In his case, death was used to bring forth life. So this was also about the gospel. As I said, the crowd was awed. The same thing happened with Elijah in the first reading. When he returned the widow's son to her, she said, "Now indeed I know that you're a man of God. The word of God comes truly from your mouth." There is confirmation in the acts of God that says what has happened is true. In Jesus' miracle, we see the same thing, because they remembered Elijah and they said, "A great prophet is now in our midst." They saw that there is something here that is beyond just the young man coming back to life. It is about the words that Jesus is about to speak, the message and the actions that He is about to bring forth. Scripture, St. Paul in particular, says it this way: "He gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." He gives us miracles. When the church fathers looked at this particular passage of Scripture, they didn't just see a widow with an only son. They saw Holy Mother Church weeping over the death of those who have not acknowledged the kingdom of God. The church fathers see this passage as a great hope that Christ can give life to anybody and to everybody that calls upon Him. I remember, this was a long time ago when I had brown hair and my bones didn't creak like they do now. And I was in the Navy, just returned from Vietnam, and I was stationed at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Well, one day I was sitting under a palm tree down on Waikiki Beach, not a bad place to be. And I was down there just kind of hanging out on a Sunday morning, and all of a sudden I heard this cool music coming from a group that had set up on the beach not too far from where I was seated. So I listened to the music, and it wasn't about, you know, anything having to do with the normal themes of music of the time. It was about the love of Jesus Christ. I thought, this is pretty cool. It's religious music, but it sounds neat. I want to listen more. So I was listening and everything. And one of the interesting things that happened is after the concert, two of the members of the group came up to me and sat down under the palm tree with me and began to talk. I hadn't called them over. I hadn't said, "Hey, I want to hear more about what you guys are singing." Or I wasn't like blind Bartimaeus going, "Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner," you know, crying out. I was just sitting there, just kind of enjoying life. But they came over because they didn't know, perhaps I was spiritually dead. I was sitting there. We talked. The talk was exciting. We talked again the next day. And the next day. We had a great conversation. And I can summarize that conversation in one word. Arise. Arise. They were calling me back to life. They were calling me back to Christ. They were calling me back to the church of my youth, to the time that I had been promised in baptism. They were saying, arise and come back. The gospel that we have the privilege to proclaim does that for person after person after person. Sin and death do not reign over us. We can live again through Christ's gift on the cross. And just as that young man heard from his place of darkness, today many can still hear the same words, arise, arise. So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.